And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick, and tonight, well, we're back to the Pinot Noirs. It's one of my favorite types of wine, has been for a long time, and I'm looking forward to trying this one out and tasting it, reviewing it, pairing with some foods, and just see what it tastes like. We'll find out. Also, we have an exciting show for you tonight. I think it's going to be kind of a light show. We're going to take it easy. A light show. But we're all here, right here, live, and going on everywhere, streaming everywhere where I can stream a stream at the moment. And I just want to welcome you to the show and say thanks for joining me. If you're just joining me now, or if you're going to join me a little bit later tonight, welcome, welcome, welcome. I appreciate having you here. This is a Saturday night that, I'm excited because we're only a couple of weeks away from Thanksgiving, one of my favorite holidays of the year. I'm looking forward to that. And we have a holiday special, a Thanksgiving holiday special coming up. And I'll tell you all about that later on as we progress with the show. Anyway, thank you for joining me here tonight. If you're joining me here for the first time or the 182nd time, because this is the 182nd episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show. Not scripted, not rehearsed. Stream of consciousness all the way. Now, I do have some show notes. I do prepare. I'm not flying by the seat of my pants all the time here. I do have sort of an itinerary laid out. An outline, if you will. Just a basic one, just to keep things moving. That's about it. I do have my show notes in there right here in front of me. I prepped them up just before the show. Here they are right here. But as you know, I don't always follow them verbatim. Sometimes I don't follow them that much at all. I mean, I've gone off the rails quite a few times in the show in the past, gone in different directions, because the show isn't about me. The show is somewhat about the wine, somewhat. But this show is really about you and me getting together on a Saturday night, kicking back, relaxing with our favorite libations, our favorite snacks, whatever they are, and just having a good time. Just relax and breathe. Just breathe. And just sitting back. And you can watch passively. There's nothing wrong with it. But you can join the chat, certainly. And that's why the show is about you and me. This show is driven mostly by you in the chats. Get in the chats, talk to me, tell me how your week's been going, tell me how your day's going, tell me what you're drinking or what you're not drinking, or what you'd like to be drinking or what you'd like to see me drinking. And if I can afford a bottle of it, I'll see if I can find a drink it too. That's fine. But the show's about us. This is our show and our time together for Saturday night. That's what the show is about. Now, we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion on the show. There's enough of that going around already. And look at all the troubles around the world today. If we can just sort of dial it back a bit and just sit back and just enjoy each other's company and just have a little time to be good to each other and get to know each other, that's what we're aiming to do here. That's what the show is about. That's what the aim is. So join with me in the chats and tell me how you're doing, and we'll have a good time. Anyway, I'm going to open up and pour and taste and review this wine that we have tonight. I'm going to pair it with some food, and I'm going to show you something that my lovely wife Chi prepared as a garnish for the food tonight, which I think she's pretty much outdone herself again. I think it's pretty amazing, really impressive. And I'm going to show it to you. We're going to toast some national days. So we're going to be doing some toasting together. So we have a few national days to toast. And, of course, some TV trivia. And tonight we're going to be talking about Emmy-winning dramas. I can't go through the first 5 minutes of the show without wixing my words up somehow. It's live, folks. That's how I roll here. TV trivia. Emmy-winning dramas, and anything else trivia-wise you want to talk about. So join in the chats, and let's get together and let's have some fun. All right. So if you're joining me now, or you want to join me now, you want to join in the chats, you don't know where to join in, let me show you where you can. We are, let me get my page up here. Here we go. We are live on our Facebook page at Drink with Rick, the Facebook page. It's Drink with Rick. YouTube channel. You can join us live on YouTube. There's a chat going there and YouTube channel. Just type in Drink with Rick. Just search it. We're at Drink with Rick. You'll find it. Twitch. Twitch is Drink with Rick and the number one, all one word. So just go to twitch.tv/drinkwithrick1. All one word. And Twitter. Twitter is at Drink with Rick. Yes, we are live on Twitter, and you can tweet me live on Twitter. Twitter is at Drink with Rick. Also, we're on Odyssey. Odyssey is, you can just type in Drink with Rick. You'll find Drink with Rick and the live show going on there. And if you want to go directly to the URL, I think the URL for tonight's show is... the name of this wine, Caretaker-Pinot-Noir, N-O-I-R. So that's what we've got going on there. Also, the podcast. If you can't watch now, can't watch later, you can listen to the podcast anytime on demand. And the podcast goes out on Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern time. And you can pick it up on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Amazon Music, podcastindex.org, and by email. If you go to the website at drinkwithrick.com, click on the little blue button that says by email, put in your email address in the box, and you will get the latest episode of Drink with Rick, the podcast, as soon as it drops, and no salesman will call. It's just to get the show every week. And, you know, you can unsubscribe at any time if you want, but please don't. Please don't. You can subscribe to me everywhere where you're watching, or follow me everywhere where you're watching so you can catch it every week and you get the notifications every week. So you won't miss a single episode. You won't miss a single minute of the show. That's what we've got going on here. Anyway, of course, you can contact me. Contact me at drinkwithrick.com, and rick@savoyamedia.com is the the email address, and we have a form there if you want to fill it out. I get a lot of spammers spamming me on that form. Such is life. You know, you get them. Anyway, so this is what we're drinking tonight. Let me check the chats here first before we go any further. See what we have going on in the chats. A little quiet on Facebook at the moment. Real Truth is in the chat on YouTube. Real Truth, just give me a thumbs up and thumbs up right back at you. It's great to see you, by the way, in the chats. And please jump in and say hi and tell me how you're doing. We've got a lot of fun planned for the show. Also, X86 is in the chat on Twitch. X86 says, good evening, Rick, and good evening right back at you, X86. Great to see you here, by the way. I'm hoping that you had a great week. And CM Cinder is also in the chat. Thanks for being here. CM Cinder, you're going to like what your mom put together tonight. I'm going to show that. Oh, you know, I could show it right now, as a matter of fact, give you a little preview of it. But first, let me show you the wine. Let me check the other chats here. Check the tweets on Twitter. And on Odyssey, it looks like we're good for right now. And let's see, my PC over here is running a little bit slow tonight. There we go. We're running. All right, we're good. It's my computer is running. My second computer here is running slow. As long as we've got my streaming PC going, and then that's fine. That's that's the main thing. If I am a little late getting to you in the chats, my computer over here that has all the chats going is hanging up a little bit. It's been giving me some trouble tonight. I don't know why, but I'll get to you at some point. Just try to be patient with me. Ed's in the chat also on Facebook. Ed is in the chat. It says, howdy, just got home, and I'm glad you did. Glad you're home safe and sound. Ed, how are you doing? By the way, I hope you are doing okay, that you fared well in the hurricane. I know that there were some calamities, some loss of life with the hurricane when it hit Florida. And it did come up here as a tropical depression, and we got some rain, a little bit of wind and whatever. It wasn't near as bad as what happened to you all down in Florida. So, that's just intense. You know, two hurricanes in that one season. You guys got slammed pretty hard with those. So I really feel for you there, my friend, and I hope you're doing okay. And I wish and I hope the best for everyone there recovering from that, from both storms, and particularly this last one here. I heard it was pretty bad in some areas. Okay, let me show you what we have to drink tonight. This is what we got going on here. This is a Pinot Noir. This is a Caretaker Pinot Noir. And this is a Santa Marina Valley Pinot Noir, Central Coast, California. And this is an interesting wine. I'm going to read the back of this wine here. Now, this is, and I've talked about this many times before. You know, there's some wines where they tell you exactly what's in the wine, what it's made of. Other wines, they don't tell you really much of anything. And then there are other wines that have this sort of, they just put this cute, sort of whimsical text on there to, you know, to give it some kind of mythology or whatever. I think this is one of those wines. I'm reading this here directly from the back label. There is an intimate relationship that exists between the land and those who have farmed it over decades and generations. This wine is about personality, the character and nuances of a vineyard that can only be expressed by a true caretaker. Winemaker's tasting notes. Now, they do have some tasting notes here. Let's see how true they are to the wine as we taste it ourselves. It says, deep, bright ruby color with violet highlights, aromas of black cherry, plum, and macerated strawberry. Touches of clove and nutmeg are contributed by the French oak for complexity. The palate shows medium body, balanced acidity, and fine-grained tannins that support an extended, lengthy finish. And wine details, Pinot Noir clones, Palmer 2AN23, growing season late February through mid-October, winemaking, small lot fermentations. The soils for the Pinot Noir grape, shale, limestone, and sandy loam. And the oak treatment for the winemaking, I'm sort of reading this back and forth. Oak treatment is French, and there is 14. And this is on the front of the very bottom. 14.2% ABV, alcohol by volume, in the 750 milliliter bottle. And in the corner there, the right hand corner, lower right, it says crafted by hand. Now, I'm not sure how much of that handcrafting. I don't know if they mean the bottle or the wine or the grapes or I don't know. It just says crafted by hand. Looking forward to trying that tonight. All right, and let me show you now what we have from my lovely wife, Chi, to pair with this wine. Here's the food pairing tonight. Wow, this is amazing here. Camera 3 is up. This is what we have tonight. What we have is we have some grilled chicken that Chi grilled on the... She pan-grilled it or something tonight. Very good, actually. This is leftovers, of course. And then we have the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda over there, and we have some New York cheddar over here. And this is a cookie that my son, Tom Antio, picked up this evening. It is a gluten-free cookie that's salted caramel. And what do we have here? What is that in the center? Well, you know, my lovely wife, she's I think she's outdone herself this time. Well, last week she put together this amazing presentation. Let me show you what she did last week, if I can pull it up again. Last week, let me see if we can find it. Where did I put that? It's show stops again, right? Okay, here's the donut day. Okay, this is what she did last week. Last week, she put this together. She made this out of a cucumber and some carrots, a carrot. And this was for National Donut Day. If you remember last week, we were celebrating National Donut Day, and that's a gluten-free donut there on the flatbed there in the back. And then she did this, which I thought was, let me pull it back up here if I can find my photos again. Here we go. Then when she did this, which was pretty amazing. See that little guy driving? That is a piece of avocado, which was really, really amazing. A piece of avocado. So that's what she did last week. Okay. Now this week, I'm going to go back to camera three. This week, if you see that in the middle, what does it look like? It looks like, well, it's a bird nest. She made this. This is pretty cool. She made this. That's all pretty cool what she does. Look, let me show you a closer shot of this. Okay. This is a bird nest with three eggs in it, bird eggs. And it looks like different species of birds. And the eggs are different. But the eggs are made out of small grapes. She had some small grapes, so she had grapes in there. It looks like a couple of those grape eggs are about to hatch. She's got going on there. Now, something that she wanted me to point out. Now, she's got some carrot and cucumber there around the side to make the nest with. And then I'm not sure what she has for the overall for the leaves and things. But she has, let me pull this other photo up here. I've got to make a change here. There we go. There's a closer view from the side. So I'm not sure what she has made the leaves with, but and the branches or whatever that's the nest is sitting on. But the brown, whatever the brown stuff is that she had on there is chocolate. That's a chocolate that she put on there, which is pretty amazing. She wanted me to point out that is chocolate. What else could it be? But I don't want to know. But it's chocolate is what she said it was. That to me is pretty amazing. And she, I think you deserve a huge round of applause for that one. That's just amazing. Just amazing. I really appreciate it. Ed says, a fence section blew down. Wow. Fence section blew down on your property. Well, if that's the worst, well, hopefully it's not too bad and it's not going to be too tough to repair. That happened to us when in our the year before we left Florida, we had a couple of storms roll in, and the first one that rolled in took down one section of the fence, like on one side, and then the next one they came in, blew down another section. So we had to pretty much replace a lot of our fence. Wow. I hope it's not going to be an expensive proposition to get that repaired. Oh, hey, if that's the worst that happened, count your blessings there. I know there are people that got hit a lot worse. So, and hopefully we don't have any more storms like that this year. I mean, that was a pretty late storm for November. Now, hurricane season officially doesn't end. It doesn't end until November 30th. But normally you don't see too many of those pop up this late in the year. So that was a little unusual. Let's hope we don't have any more of that. That's for sure. All right. So getting back to the wine here. once again, this is the Pinot Noir. That's what we're opening up tonight. And we're looking forward to trying it out. I'm going to open this up. Been waiting to do that for a while. Let me check the other chats again real quick, see what's going on Twitch. My computer over here is running really slow. I don't know why, but it is running really slow. X86 says Italian. Seam Center says grape eggs. Yes. And X86 says Italian parsley and ooh, chocolate. She outdid herself this evening. Yes, she certainly did. She certainly did. And X86 says that cookie looks good. I wonder how that cheddar is going to pair. Well, I think we'll see how the cheddar pairs. Last week, the one we tried last week, it was, as I recall, it was okay. Let's see if it works with a Pinot this week. A New York cheddar. So that might be medium to sharp cheddar there. All right, let me go ahead and get this open, get the foil cut. And yes, grape eggs, CM Cinder. They're the best kind, aren't they? At least for this show. The best kind. And yeah, she did outdo herself this time. Absolutely. All right, let me see if I can reach over and grab my mechanical corkscrew so we can uncork, or as I like to say, we can decork the wine. It is decorked. We'll get rid of the cork later. And of course I have my trusty aerator. I did not chill this wine or anything like that. I didn't think it needed to be, but I didn't. All right, and to hold the grape nectar, I have my genuine Galway Irish crystal glass given to me by my employers at buy2wayradios.com. And this is from Ireland, imported from Ireland, as this wine is imported from the state of California and taxed as such. All right, so now I'm going to give this a swirl, but I'm going to swirl it on my genuine Drink with Rick coaster. And if you don't have a pair of these coasters, I will tell you before the end of the show how you can get a free pair. There we go. Well, let's swirl this around a little bit. Let's get this swirl around just a little bit. And then we'll set it aside over here. Yeah. I need some wine to loosen my tongue. Okay. Let's set it aside for a moment. I'm getting some aromas here now, actually. And while it's opening up, because we're going to let it open up and breathe a little bit, let's learn a little bit more about this wine. So what I have found out is not a whole lot. Caretaker Pinot Noir. This is a 2020. The thing is about this wine, it's not listed. It's listed in a few places, but not a whole lot. Wine Searcher has it listed, but only in one place. And they don't really have any, well, they have a 2.5 from 7 user ratings. I didn't read the critic reviews. Supposedly there's 7 critic reviews. I did not read them. Cellar Tracker has it listed, 2020 Caretaker Wines Pinot Noir. They give a CT of 89.5 with 2 user reviews. Just skim those and not much there for the reviews. Now, Wine Searcher has it listed for $12 for the 750-milliliter bottle. And apparently it is in New York and Brooklyn, Five Kings Wines and Liquors in New York, $11.99. And this is excluding the sales tax. I went to Vivino. Vivino has it listed for $9.99. That's the average of all the users' reported prices. It gave this a 3.3 star rating out of 3,220 ratings. So that's, and I skimmed through a few of these reviews, and yeah, they were pretty mixed. That's the thing about this wine that concerns me a little bit. These reviews, I looked through a few of those reviews, and some people either loved it or they hated it. There wasn't a whole lot of them in between from what I read, and there might have been some other averages, but they either liked it or they didn't like it at all. So whether I like it or not, we'll see. But that also shows, that also tells you something else too, is that a lot of this wine tasting is subjective. It depends on your own personal taste for wine. So you may not, I might love this wine, might give it a pass, might not like it at all, but you might feel completely different about the wine than I do. And that's okay. That's okay. But the exercise here is just to find out, just on an average, what this wine might be like. So that's what we're going to do. Before I taste it, let me go ahead and check the chats one more time. And I hope you're doing okay, Ed. Let's see. X86, and Kevin J. Ranks is in the chat on Twitch also. It's great to see you, Kevin. Good to see you here. Been a little while. Hope you're doing well, by the way. And Kevin says, Rick, do you participate in amateur radio? I just passed my technician level exam tonight. Really? Well, congratulations. Well, we have to give you a congratulatory toast. Hold that thought for a few minutes. Let me taste the wine and see if it's worth toasting with. And once we get this toasted, let's add you in. I've got to write this down now, don't I? Add this in for congratulatory toast. And yeah, Kevin, we will talk about amateur radio a little bit. Passed your technician class. Wow. No, that's a big deal. It really is. And we will do that. X86 says congrats on that, Kevin. And yes, we will toast you. We've got you scheduled for a toast here in just very shortly, okay? Where was I? Oh. All right, we're checking everywhere else. And looks like we're good to go. And let me check. Okay, and Real Truth says hi, and hi right back at you. And stick around, please. Please stick around. We're going to have some fun. All right. Let's give this wine a little bit of a taste. I don't know what's going on with my computer tonight, but it's really hanging up something bad here. Hopefully that shouldn't affect. That's not going to affect the stream at all. It might affect me, the feedback coming back to me from the stream, but it shouldn't affect the stream. Okay, let's give this a little bit of a whiff. Okay, that's interesting. Well, that is interesting. Okay, some strawberry, a raspberry, actually, more than strawberry. Mix of raspberry and strawberry. I'm getting something else on here, too. Maybe that, I hope that's not the glass. Very interesting. Well, some strawberry and raspberry, something else in here that seems a little bit, I don't know, let's give it a taste. Okay. Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of strawberry and a little raspberry in there, but there's something else that's really overpowering this. Wow. Yeah, that's just kind of, I don't know what that is, but it's not that pleasant. It's kind of a medium-bodied wine, as it says, medium-bodied, and yeah, it's kind of ruby color, not too dark ruby red color, but there are some tannins in the wine, kind of medium tannins, and some people said it was sweet. It's kind of it's dry. It's I don't know, maybe just a twinge of sweetness, but yeah, it's something. You know what? I was reading a couple of reviews on this before from somebody who did not like it. And I can't remember exactly. It's a fairly long finish, but it's kind of tart, but it's also bitter. That's the thing, and I can't find it now, but I saw one of the reviews, somebody mentioned that there was kind of a bitter taste to it, but yeah, it kind of has a bitter smell to it. I don't think this isn't corked or anything, but it's kind of bitter. It's bitter tasting wine. I'm not, this is not, in my opinion, I don't think this is my favorite Pinot. Wow, it smells, Yeah, that smells kind of bitter. I don't know what's going on with this. Wow. Yeah, I don't know where I saw those other reviews on it, but somebody did mention it was bitter, and there were a few people that didn't like it at all. And I'm thinking that the same thing. I'm not liking this wine too much, to be honest. Could just pull a backup wine. Oh, wow. You know what? I can't say I'm liking this wine too much. Now, I'll tell you what. I don't think I've ever encountered this before on the show. Now, there have been wines that I liked. There have been wines that I didn't like so much. Been some in between. But I don't think... I'm pouring a little bit more. Why do I keep pouring in it? Because I'm not sure... Wow, this is kind of weird. Yeah, strawberry. There is a kind of a twinge of sweetness to it in there, but there's something really off about this wine. And no, it's not corked. It doesn't taste corked, but it does taste rather bitter. Yeah, I can't say I'm liking this wine too much. Not my favorite Pinot. Wow. Okay. I think we're going to go. This is going to be a light show tonight, folks. I didn't mention in the beginning, this might be a light show. I think this is going to be a light show. We're going to be doing more talking than drinking, I think. But I do, in all fairness, I do have to pair it with the food. So we're going to go ahead and do that. Before we do that, let me go back to the chats for just a minute and see what we got going on. I'm going to back out of a couple of these tabs that I've got open to see if I can fix some of the lag on the computer. All right, so it looks like. Oh, it looks like it's stabilized so much. I don't know what's going on with this computer tonight. Anyway, wow, this wine, I'm disappointed with this wine. It's not. But we'll go ahead and we'll pair it with the foods. You know, be fair. We'll pair the. I hope there isn't anything nefarious going on with this wine. Guess we'll find out. If I keel over in the next 10 minutes, you know there was something in this wine that shouldn't have been there. Hopefully not. All right. So let's go to camera 3 and let's go ahead and pair this wine with this food, such as it is. All right. Let's go ahead and try it first with the chicken. Try it with the grilled chicken that my lovely wife Chi prepared. This is a grilled chicken. We're going to try it out now. Put up on camera 2 here. Here we go. And the chicken is very good, by the way. Really, that's just chicken. She did a great job with it. Let's see how I should take to try it. Not because of the chicken, but the wine. All right. Sour. The chicken's good, but this wine mixed with the chicken, kind of sour. Yeah, I don't think this wine is a good wine to pair with chicken. And that's saying a lot because normally a good Pinot Noir will go great with a grilled chicken. In fact, before the show, she was asking me, she says, well, what kind of meat do you want? And I said, the grilled chicken. I said, that should be fine with this Pinot. The Pinot Noir should go great with the chicken. Not this one, apparently. Yeah, clear the palate. I'm going to need to do that. A little extra clearing. Let's go back to camera 3. We're going to try it with the... Let's try it with the cheddar first. This is the New York cheddar. We're going to try it with that first and see what happens. Hope for the best. Hold our noses and try and... I'm just kidding. Well, not that much. Wow. The cheddar's good, by the way. Why not so much? Bitter. With the cheddar is bitter. Yeah, so far I'm not caring. I don't like this wine too much. Oh, man. Okay, maybe I should stop drinking this wine. Before I do, let's try out the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. That's on camera 3. We're going to try out the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. Give that a try. Back on camera 2. There we go. I love the Double Cream Gouda. Now, we've never had a miss with the Gouda and the wine. This could be a first. Let's see. You know what? I think this Gouda saved the wine. The wine wasn't so bad with the Gouda. It wasn't too bad with the Gouda, and I think that's all because of the Gouda, not because of the wine. Oh, man, I got to clear the palate again one more time. Well, yeah, we're going to go to the light yeah, that was not the best tasting I've ever had. Okay, once again, this is what we're drinking. This is what we're drinking, and you might like it, but I'll be honest with you, it kind of it's not that pleasant. Caretaker Wines, Pinot Noir, Santa Maria Valley, Central Coast, California. This is 2020. And so far, I'm not liking this wine. I'm not liking this wine at all. There's something really off about it. Once again, it doesn't taste corked. Because if it was corked, it'd have this real vinegary kind of smell or something to it. But that's not what this is. It's something else. It tastes more like... tastes like a dead rat fell in it or something. I don't know. I'm being honest. This is... this wine is not good. We have some toasting to do. I don't know how much of it can do this wine. I guess I'll just hold my nose and try it. We'll see. Oh, man. I could think of better wines to toast with tonight than this one. Okay, let me go back to the chat for just a minute. My computer is just hanging up real bad. Forgive me, folks. Bear with me because we're having a heck of a time with this, and I don't know why it is giving me fits, this computer over here. I haven't had this much trouble with a computer in ages. It's really slow moving back and forth from one chat to the other. Looks like everything is stable here. Let me go back to Twitch for a moment. I've got some catching up to do on Twitch. Okay. let me scroll up here a little bit. X86 says, I'm looking forward to seeing the tasting menu she put together this evening. I think we just showed that. CM Cinder says it looks cute. You're talking about the nest. The nest with it. It's amazing. Let me go back to that photo here. It's just really amazing what she did here. I wish I had a wine that was up to that could match this. This wine, unfortunately, certainly isn't it. So it is pretty amazing, isn't it? And let's see. So the cheddar was the only redeeming quality of that tasting with the wine. That and the Double Cream Gouda. I think the wine made it a lot more sour. For some reason, my computer is just hanging up real bad, so I can't read a lot of the chat right now. It's kind of stuck. I don't know why. Maybe It's an omen with the wine. I don't I don't know what's going on with this. I just lost some performance with this computer. It's just hanging up really, really bad, and I have no idea why. I don't know what's going on with it. So, folks, I can't see in the chat, unfortunately, at the moment. Let me see if I can get it back. Oh, well. Okay, everything's coming back up. Looks like we're back. Looks like we're back on all that. And Twitch is back up, I think. And Facebook, I think, is coming back up. Wow, this is just... What a showstopper this was. I'll tell you what, maybe this was an omen with this wine. This wine was not great, and it looks like my experience with this computer tonight is not great either. Okay, we are back up. Kevin says... let me go back up because I missed a lot of this here. There we go. All right, so... Kevin wants to know, when did you reboot that PC last? As a matter of fact, I rebooted it about 2 hours before the show. As a matter of fact, the PC was down for a couple of days because we had storms coming through. So I had shut everything down for a day or two, and I just rebooted it this evening before when I was doing my show prep so I can get everything set up. So it was booted up fresh. So I don't know what happened there, but... Something was off with that. Kevin says, working in IT, I've seen some very high uptimes. End users are claimed to have rebooted their PC while I check. You know, as a matter of fact, Kevin, I have spent some time in IT myself as well. So, and I think we've had that discussion before, haven't we? I think we have. Kevin says, always claim, yeah, you should make your own mail order wine pairing boxes. Okay, Kevin says you should make your own mail order wine pairing boxes, wine plus snacks. Well, there's an idea. I've got so many irons in the fire now, I wouldn't have time to do that. But that's a nice idea. Kevin says, could you pull up chat on your other PC, try another browser? I could, but we're back up now. It looks like it's working okay now. I think it might have been just a momentary issue with Firefox. And I think Kevin says, I've been having issues with Firefox lately also. You know, Firefox just came up with another update last week, I think, about a week or so ago. It's been a little squirrely. Sorry, Bill. We'll get to you later. It's been a little squirrely since then. But I haven't had it this bad so far. This is really, really weird. So I don't know what's going on there. I'll have to investigate that. It might be maybe Firefox was trying to do another update or something while I was setting up the show, and maybe it had to be rebooted or Firefox had to be reloaded again. That happens. So, anyway, don't want to get too much in the weeds on that. We've got more show coming. All right, we paired it with the food. And I can tell you that this wine is not my favorite, he said as he pours some more. I'm going to pour a little bit more because we have some toasting to do. We have some toasting to do tonight. We have the National Days to Toast, and we have a special toast for Kevin over here. I haven't forgotten about you, Kevin. So we're going to toast to all of that. Let's go do some national days. Let's toast some national days here because we've got some TV trivia going on tonight too. So let's go ahead and toast the national days. Let me cue the wave. Got the wave. So we're going to toast the national days. And here we are with, and this is courtesy of nationaldaycalendar.com. Nationaldaycalendar.com is my friend Marlo Anderson's website. He's the CEO. And, well, here's what we have on tap tonight for November 12th, 2022. That's for about another hour and 5 minutes. So we can still toast it. November 12th is National Chicken Soup for the Soul Day. National Chicken Soup for the Soul Day. National Chicken Soup for the Soul Day, and I'm reading this from nationaldaycalendar.com. National Chicken Soup for the Soul Day celebrates who you are and how you get there. Take time to nurture your soul on November 12th. A little chicken soup does a lot of good. It's warm and hearty. As we cup our hands around the bowl, the heat radiates into our bodies. I'm reading this from nationaldaycalendar.com. The steam hits our face with a comforting aroma. Similar to what chicken soup does for our bodies, the regular nurturing of our souls benefits our health. Whether you pick up a book, meditate, or go for a long walk, reflect on who you are and your achievements. Here's to National Chicken Soup for the Soul Day. You know, I could use some chicken soup. Probably tastes better than this wine. I was doing some reflecting on that today myself, as a matter of fact. And I didn't know until I was doing the show prep that it was actually National Chicken Soup for the Soul Day. But I was doing some serious reflecting this afternoon. Won't go into the details on that now, but I was doing that. It's interesting. November 12th is also, one of my favorite days, National French Dip Day. National French Dip Day. And you know what? I wouldn't mind having some French dip to go with a Pinot Noir, but a better Pinot Noir than this one. I'm going to be slamming this thing all night, I'll be drinking it, but I'll be slamming it as I drink it. You know? I'm not slamming it down. Never mind. National French Dip Day. I'm going to read this from nationaldaycalendar.com. You like French dip? I love French dip when it's done right. You know, it's done, you know, with the au jus and all that. There are a couple places that I've had a really good French dip with. McAllister's Deli used to do a pretty good French dip. There are a few other places. I've had a few other restaurants. Believe it or not, I've had a pretty decent French dip from Arby's. They were doing that. Let's see. I'm reading this from nationaldaycalendar.com. On November 12th, warm up some au jus and celebrate National French Dip Day. Served up hot, tender slices of beef or pork on a French roll make up a delicious sandwich. Sometimes cheese is added. Usually I have it without cheese. However, the key ingredients are the au jus and spicy mustard. This is true. You got to have the spicy mustard with it. The combination of tender beef swimming in a flavor bath of pan drippings absorbed into the crusty roll makes the French dip a decadent multi-napkin experience everyone needs to have. And if you've never had one before, follow the instructions below and find one. Oh boy, I got to have some French dip. When your order arrives, apply a generous helping of mustard. Next, dunk your sandwich into the au jus for 2 to 3 seconds. Sometimes I do it for 4 or 5. Permit the bread to soak up the delicious au jus. Be prepared for a flavor experience when you take your first bite of a French dip. Dang, I need a French dip, man. That was good. I don't know who wrote this over at nationaldaycalendar.com, but they've got me salivating. Here's to National French Dip Day. I will drink to that. Even with this. I bet the French dip would save this wine. I don't know if much else would. Okay, so what else do we have? Today, November 12th, is also... Okay, you're going to like this. Maybe. Today is National Pizza with the Works Except Anchovies Day. I kid you not. National Pizza with the Works Except Anchovies Day. You like pizza with the works, everything on it, and everything pizza, right? Okay, this is from nationaldaycalendar.com. Actually, I don't think I copied that because it was self-explanatory. I think this is self-explanatory. National Pizza with the Works Except Anchovies Day. Does anyone here like anchovies on their pizza? I don't want to make you gag or anything if you don't, but there was a time, There was a time when I was younger where I loved anchovies on a pizza. I had to have a pizza. I'd order a pizza and I'd have it with extra cheese and anchovy. Great stuff at the time. At some point, and I don't recall exactly when, at some point, I ordered my last anchovy pizza. And after that one, I decided, you know, I'm done with anchovy pizza. I don't think I'm going to have anchovy pizza anymore. And I have never ordered one since. And I think the last time was like 25, 30 years ago, something like 25 years ago, maybe, before my kids were born. I think there was a time when I ordered them, and she didn't like the anchovies on them. She didn't like the anchovies on the pizza at all. And at first, I would just gloat over it, saying, hey, you know, this is great stuff. And she's going, I'm not eating that. And then after a while, I got to a point where I thought, you know what? I don't like this anymore. And I just quit eating them. Did anybody else like anchovies on pizza? Anybody else? Kevin? Or let's see. There's some new messages here. Okay. No. Anchovies on pizza. Ed, you like anchovies on pizza? Some people do and some people don't. Kevin says, no thank you. No thank you at all. And X86 says, my dad used to eat kippers. Okay, here, this should be interesting. My dad used to eat kippers in the kitchen and stink up the whole house. Now I have PTSD with anchovies or kippers. I can't stand the smell. Well, X86, I can certainly understand that. Kippers, wow. Yeah, it's kind of a little, kind of a stinky fish too, right? Yeah, I don't think I've ever had kippers per se, but kippers in the kitchen. That's pretty much the same thing as anchovies, right? Because anchovies are stinky little fish. They're very salty. Very salty. I don't know if I've ever really had kippers per se, but... And CM Cinder says, anchovies on pizza sounds ew to me. Yes, it's, I'm guessing here that the majority of everyone here watching does not like anchovies on their pizza. Ed, what about you? Because I remember ordering some anchovy pizza back in the day when you and I were rooming together. I don't recall if you liked them or not. X86 says, yeah, it's tiny mackerel fish, comes in a rectangular tin can. That's right. Okay. Kippers. Yeah, a fish on pizza. I don't think that's a really good combination. Kind of like this wine. I'm pouring some more, but I'm pouring it because we have a few more days to toast, and Kevin, we're gonna toast you here in just a few minutes. This is awesome. Not the wine. Your event is awesome. All right, so let's get back to the national days. November 13th. We only have a couple here. November 13th, which is tomorrow. Well, it'll be today in 56 minutes. November 13th is National Indian Pudding Day. National Indian Pudding Day. Now, I've heard of Indian pudding. I don't think I've ever had it. But I pulled this up from nationaldaycalendar.com, which will give us some insight as to what National Indian Pudding Day is all about. It says, National Indian Pudding Day recognizes a cold weather classic. On November 13th each year, serve up this traditional New England dessert that's sure to wow. So this is from New England, National Indian Pudding Day. It says here... In the 17th century, English colonists brought hasty pudding to North America, transforming it. Hasty pudding. I have a feeling I'm not going to salivate over this as much as I did over the last one we toasted. although they initially made the pudding with wheat, Due to a shortage of grain, the colonists eventually used cornmeal. I don't know why I laughed at that. I just did. Since the colonists had learned to cultivate maize or corn from the indigenous peoples, the crop was readily available. The colonists derived the name for Indian pudding from their name for cornmeal, Indian meal. They also replaced the water with milk. For added flavor, cooks add either molasses or maple syrup. Other ingredients they added include cinnamon, ground ginger, butter, eggs, raisins, and nuts. They then slowly baked the Indian pudding for several hours. Baking transforms the pudding's texture from the original porridge-like quality of hasty pudding to a much smoother consistency, which is more typical of custard. Before 1900, most American cookbooks include a recipe for Indian pudding. But by the 20th century, commercial puddings with an industrial, perfect, creamy consistency replaced the popularity of Indian pudding. The long cooking time required for Indian pudding did not appeal to 20th century home cooks. I can imagine that. However, during the autumn holidays, Indian pudding, some restaurants serve the dish due to its fall traditions. Vanilla ice cream or whipped cream pair nicely with Indian pudding. That's from nationaldaycounter.com. I have never had Indian pudding. Has anyone else tried it? Anyone's had Indian pudding? Well, here's to National Indian Pudding Day. National Indian Pudding Day. I'll drink that. All right, we have one more National Day to toast. This is World Kindness Day. Now, today, coming up here, this next day is Sunday. It's World Kindness Day. And this I wanted to throw in here because I think it's very important. This is something that we really try to promote on this show. Kindness to everyone. And you can be from different walks of life, different nationalities, different races, different creeds, different, from different places and different, you know, people with different personalities and different, worldviews and different lifestyles and whatever. It's important to be kind to one another. I think that's what we were all born to do, to live together and to be kind to one another. So this is why I'm including it here, because I think this is in line, totally in line with the philosophy here on Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and that is being kind to one another. So today we've got 52 minutes left for World Kindness Day officially starts, but we're going to start it off now. And I'm reading this from nationaldaycounter.com once again. World Kindness Day, on November 13th, as part of World Kindness Day, we are encouraged to spread kindness like an infectious cold. I would rather have kindness than an infectious cold, I will tell you that right now. We want to share it more than usual because studies show when others observe kindness in action, they are more likely to carry out an act of kindness too. This is true, and this has been proved. So imagine if you head out for the day and your neighbor's garbage can has tipped over. Instead of ignoring it and letting the wind make a mess, you pick it up and return it to the corner. Three other neighbors notice and give you a smile and a nod on their way to work. One of those neighbors notices a stranded driver on the side of the road on his commute to work. He remembers your thoughtfulness and offers assistance to the stranded driver. Several passersby take notice. That does happen. Yeah, and an example of this is the pay it forward system, where someone in a drive-thru they'll go through the drive-thru and then they'll hand them the money and they'll say, hey, I'm paying for the guy behind me too. And the guy behind him will pull up and says, yeah, the guy just said, hey, have you paid for your food? Well, let me pay for the guy behind me or the lady behind me or whatever. And then it's so on and so forth. And it snowballs. And it's true. It does work. An act of kindness does have a tendency to be contagious for everyone around. And I think it is in us somewhere to be kind. I think it's part of our DNA to be kind and be good to one another. It's just that the world today is such that it makes it more and more difficult to spread and for that to be noticed and to be amplified somewhat. But we can do it. We can do it. So here is to World Kindness Day. I will drink to that. I wish this wine would be a little kinder to me. Whoa. Okay, we'll get through it. We'll get through it. And with that, that does it for the National Days. And this is what we're drinking tonight. I have to let you know, this is what we're drinking, so you know, to be on the alert. Called Caretaker, from Caretaker Wines, Pinot Noir, Santa Maria Valley, the Central Coast, California. 14.5% alcohol by volume. Sustainably farmed, it says. Crafted by hand. Well, I don't know whose hands crafted this one, but they may not have washed them first, because this wine, I'm not kidding. This wine literally has a stinky flavor to it. It does. It has a stinky odor to it. I've had a lot of wines in my day. This has kind of this wine literally stinks. I'll tell you. X86 says, Caretaker, maybe they should rename it Undertaker. I love that. That's excellent. That's a good one. X86, you should get a prize for that one. That was directly, I love that one. Yeah, we'll start calling Undertaker. Wow. You're on a roll tonight. All right, so this is what we got. Well, we're going to do something else here. We're going to do something really special here before we get to the TV trivia. Kevin, you still with us here, my friend? All right, so Kevin J. Ranks has, who is also an IT guy, I used to be an old IT guy, now I'm just an old guy. And Kevin has given us some information that I think is, he's reached a milestone that I think is definitely worth toasting. Kevin says, Rick, do you participate in amateur radio? I just passed my technician level exam tonight. And Kevin, we're going to toast you right now. Let me find a good, I've got the fireworks ready. I've got the fireworks, but really what we probably need is, because you're an IT guy, maybe we should have something more. Well, let's go with the fireworks first. Okay. Kevin, to answer your question, yes, I do participate in amateur radio. I've been a ham for just about 10 years now. And I also hold a GMRS license as well. The company I work for, by2wayradios.com, we sell ham radios and GMRS radios and all kinds of radios. I'm a ham. As a matter of fact, my ham license is due for renewal here this coming year. My son, Tom Antio, you've heard me talk about Tom Antio quite a bit. He's also a ham radio operator. And this is how it came to be. We studied and passed our technician license together. And then the next year after that, we decided, let's go for our general. So we both studied for the general, took a month to study for our general license together, and we took that and passed the general exam. So we are both, Tom Antio and I, are both general class ham license operators. Now, we thought about going for our extra. I think Tommy, he hasn't really been much into it anymore. When he was younger, we did a little bit with it. But I'm thinking about going for my extra here sometime soon. Not right away, but I've got too much going on right now. Maybe after the holidays, then I may go for my extra. We'll see. But I'll tell you, the exam, the technician, once you get to the technician exam, you're well on your way. And I want to say congratulations because, yeah, I remember studying for mine, and it was It was a bit of a test to take. Not too bad, but it was a bit much, you know, it took some studying. I'll say that a little bit. But I want to say that is definitely a milestone. And for you to pass your technician level exam, I want to say congratulations. I want to raise my glass in a hearty toast. And I wish, I apologize, Kevin. I wish I had a better wine to toast you with. But we've got wine and we can do some toasting. And everyone who has whatever they're drinking ready, let's all toast Kevin J. Ranks together in honor of passing the technician level exam. And he is now an official amateur radio operator, ham radio operator. Here's to you, Kevin. Congratulations. Congratulations. And welcome to the ham radio community. And I'm going to toast you again, not because this wine's any good, because it's not, because I'm really, really proud of you that you've passed that and you are now a ham radio operator. Here's to you, Kevin. Congratulations. Really, I think that's great. You know, as a matter of fact, Kevin, you know what? I'm going to send you something. As a ham radio, new ham radio operator, what's I only have a couple of sizes in these. I've got a couple of these T-shirts from BytoWayRadios.com. They gave me, and I can give them away. Okay. This one says, it's not the wavelength, it's how you use it. It's not the wavelength T-shirt. As a matter of fact, this one sits here all the time because I use it for, I use it to white balance set the exposure levels on the cameras every week because it's a gray shirt. It's a neutral gray. But I'll tell you what, leave me... you send it to me, rick@civilianmedia.com, rick@civilianmedia.com. After the show, just send me your address where I can send it to you, and I will send you a T-shirt, and I don't know what size. I'm limited in sizes, but let me know what your size is, and I'll see if I can match it or as close as I can to match it, because we only have a few of these shirts left. We used to have a ton of them, but we've given a lot of them away in ham fests and things in the past. And I'll tell you what else I'll do. I have a swag bag that we send out a lot at bytwowayradios.com. I'll send you I've got a few here. I'll send you a swag bag with some cool stuff in it. So send I want to help you celebrate and, in passing your amateur exam. I'll send you this little swag bag and the T-shirt. So just email me and with a mailing address where I can ship it to, and I'll get it right out to you. So anyway, once again, congratulations. You know what? I've got something else to congratulate. I'm excited about this. This is very cool. Let me see what else I can do here. Ah, yes. Here we go. Here's something. Because you're an IT guy, I think you'd appreciate this. Here we go. Here's to Kevin. Congratulations. All right. This is so cool. I like this. I always like when somebody reaches a milestone. And Kevin says, thank you. Cheers. And CM Center says, I'm not drinking anything right now, but I'll be toasting in my heart. Well, CM Center, that's awful sweet of you. It really is. It's really sweet of you. Kevin says, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I hope to hear you on the airwaves. May do that one of these days soon. Thank you. Thank you for being part of the show, Kevin. I really appreciate you being here. Really appreciate you being part of it. Like I said, you all make the show. This is your show. And Ed, you're ready for some TV trivia, right? I'm pretty sure you are. We've got some TV trivia coming up. So let's do some TV trivia. I don't think I have a TV trivia backdrop here, but such as it is, I've got to set up something like that. By the way, just to let everybody know before we get too far into the trivia part, I wanted to let everybody know that this coming Thanksgiving, which is the 24th, we are going to be doing, let me see if I have it set up here. We're going to be doing a special Thanksgiving episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. It's not going to be Saturday night, obviously. It's going to be Thursday night. But we do this every year. And this coming coming Thanksgiving, the Thursday night, we are going to be doing a Drink with Rick Thanksgiving. Once again, this is going to be for 2022. Drink with Rick Thanksgiving, it's going to be November 24th, 2022. It's going to start at 9 p.m. ET. This is a one-hour special. It's not going to be a super long show. One-hour special. We're going to get together and talk about what we're thankful for and just kick back and relax with some food and drink and just having a good time on a Thanksgiving evening. So I hope you'll join me here for that. November 24th, 2022, a Drink with Rick Thanksgiving. And maybe we'll do a giveaway or two. We'll see. Anyway, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Okay. And I hope everyone will be there for that. All right. Let's do some TV trivia. And I don't even know if we need to do a final review of the wine. I think everybody knows what I think of it. But let's see. We've got some TV trivia here. Sorry, Bill. You're coming up later. Okay. I had last week, and I was working off this TV trivia word search puzzles book, and I came across, I thought this was pretty interesting. We were going over some of the shows that were in here in this puzzle book. And I came across one that was for, what page was that? It was page 27, I think is what it was. See, my memory isn't that bad. It's getting there. Emmy-winning comedies. Say that three times fast with some of this nasty wine. Emmy-winning comedies. And we were talking about those. Well, there's another one here I've got that says Emmy-winning dramas. I can even say this one time slow. Emmy-winning dramas. And I've got a few of these here that we can go over real quick. And I'm going to give you a list of some Emmy-winning dramas and see if you can recall seeing some of those or whether you liked them or not or whether you thought they were worth winning Emmys or not. The first one on the list that I have here is NYPD Blue. Now, I never really watched that show much. I've heard a lot of good things about it, and I've heard that, it's won a couple of Emmys, I think, right? And it's supposed to be really, really well done. Well shot, well acted, well written. NYPD Blue. I like police procedurals. I like to watch a lot of police procedural shows. I don't know if any of the ones, some of the ones that I like to watch now are on this list. We'll go through the list. We'll see. Breaking Bad is another one. Never really watched Breaking Bad. I don't know have you watched Breaking Bad? Anybody watch Breaking Bad? I don't really get into that kind of a show too much, but I haven't really watched it much. But I do know the premise and the characters somewhat. My lovely wife Chi, by the way, is in the chat and YouTube. And I'm sorry I missed you earlier, Chi. The browser was really acting up. Firefox was acting up, so it was hard for me to see a lot of this. But I'm glad you're here, my lovely wife. She did a phenomenal job, didn't she, tonight on the. I've got to give her another applause for just what she did with this and back on camera three with the bird nest in there. That was just utterly amazing there. And I want to give you another round of applause, Chi, for that. Thank you very, very much. So Breaking Bad won Emmys, yes. Here's one. Cagney and Lacey, I'm not surprised there. They run that on, not on MeTV. What's that other one they run that on? There's so many of these other over-the-air TV channels that they run these. What was it? Start? I think that's Start TV or something that they do. I think that's the one they run Cagney and Lacey on. I see it sometimes late night. And I never really got into that show too much, but I've been watching a few episodes on it late at night sometimes. And it's, I mean, not my kind of police procedural, but it's an interesting show. And I can see where it could have won some Emmys. I could see that. Ed says, I got a brand new car this week after the car crash. I was back-ended. I remember that. You had the car crash about a couple of weeks ago, right? And he says, my 20-year-old one was a total loss, and I started therapy for the neck that was hurt in the crash too. Well, Ed, I hope your therapy is going really well, the physical therapy. I've been through that a little bit, and, yeah, I was really sorry to hear about your car crash. Ed was rear-ended a couple weeks ago, and we talked about that a little bit on the show, and totaled his car completely. And you started therapy for the neck that was hurt in the crash too. So you're doing all right. Are you on a neck brace, by the way? You got a neck brace and everything, or? But your car was 20 years old. You know, that makes it a classic. When it hits 20 years old, then it becomes a classic. So you lost a classic car. And I'm not trying to make you feel worse for it. But, well, so you got a brand new car. What kind of car did you get? You got a brand new car this weekend. That's great. Good news. Here's to Ed, by the way, and a brand new car. Look at that. We got to toast Ed and his brand new car. I got to get my fireworks back. Where are we here? Oh, yes, fireworks. Here we are. Let's go back to the fireworks. Ed, congratulations on your new car. And I hope you're feeling much better now. I'm sure your new car is better than this wine that I'm drinking. Whoa. Well, Ed, what make and model car do you have now? Sounds pretty cool. Curious to see what kind of car. Tesla? A brand new Tesla? I don't know. Tommy got a new car a couple months ago. Well, it's new for him. It's an old car, but it's actually in really, really nice shape. It's a really nice car. He got a Mazda 6, and he really, really loves that car. He drives me to work in it sometimes because we both work at By Two Way Radio, the same place in Rock Hill. So we'll carpool together in the mornings, like a couple of days a week I'll drive, a couple other days a week he drives. It's a nice car, actually. Really nice car. Okay, where were we? Emmy-winning dramas. I said it right this time. Emmy-winning dramas. All right, so Cagney and Lacey won some. Not really into that. The Defenders. Anybody ever watch The Defenders? Anybody know of The Defenders? I've heard of it. It's an older show. I've never really watched it. Here's a classic, Dragnet. One of the longest running, well, before NCIS came along anyway. One of the longest running police procedurals. In there, it was a half hour, and I think at some point they went to an hour or something. But Dragnet with Jack Webb, with Sergeant Joe Friday, just the facts, ma'am. Dragnet, Doctor. I don't know why I said Doctor. Dragnet with Doctor Agnet. Dragnet. I don't know. With Joe Friday in it. And let's see, Northern Exposure. Wow, that's a show I have not heard of in a long time. I don't think I've ever seen that. Maybe once I've seen it in reruns. But I remember when it was running in the first run, and I don't recall seeing it in a secondary run anywhere. Interesting. Northern Exposure. Okay. Yeah, that was, I didn't really watch it that much, but what I did see of it, I knew it was a pretty good quality show. Here's another classic. The Fugitive. Yep. The Fugitive. Wow. And I'm glad that they gave that show a really good ending. That was a show that ran for a long time as well, and that won Emmys. Oh, here's another one on the list. Lou Grant. Why am I not surprised that Lou Grant won Emmys? You know, of course, Mary Tyler Moore Show, which we talked about last week, that won Emmys. And then of course, Lou Grant, the character of Lou Grant, you know, from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, there was a spinoff from that, which was more of a serious show, more of a drama. It was Lou Grant, still starring Ed Asner. Ed Asner playing the titular character. Won Emmys. Gunsmoke, no surprise there. Probably the longest running Western. And it graduated from Gunsmoke started off as a radio show and moved into TV in black and white and then color. I think it was about the longest running Western. Probably ran longer than Bonanza, didn't it? Yeah, probably did. I don't know. Gunsmoke, I know it's a long, long running show. With James Arness as Matt Dillon. Yeah. In Festus. Who can forget Festus? The Handmaid's Tale. So they made a series out of, that drama. The Handmaid's Tale. Never watched it. Hill Street Blues, never really watched that too much either, but yes, I do recall that one winning a number of Emmys. Homeland, I probably should have watched Homeland, but didn't really. Ah, and here's another favorite of mine coming up. Ed says NYPD Blue moved the camera all the time. Why? That is a very good question. I think that was one of the reasons why I didn't really watch it that much, because it would drive me nuts sometimes. Because I'll tell you kind of why, Ed. It's during that period with NYPD Blue, and they actually, I can't say they started that, but they really kind of made that popular with a lot of police dramas in particular, but not just police dramas. They started doing it. They even started doing it with a couple of more like comedies, not the sitcoms in front of the audience, but the ones that were filmed. It got to be kind of popular during that time because a couple of the popular shows like NYPD Blue would do that. And the reason that they did that was they were going for what they call a realistic view of it, like as if you were the third person. You know, you're the third person, of course, in these watching TV. But they wanted to present it as if you were there, and you're watching this in real time, and sort of like if you're walking around, moving around, your head's moving around, and you're there, and it wanted to give you a third person view of it as if you're right there with them in the room. That was basically the takeaway from that, or the intent of that. But and to a point it could work. They did that in some movies too, but it became really, really popular once a couple of these shows like NYPD Blue started winning Emmys for it, and started winning Emmys for still like the technical work. Then everybody got on board. It's one of those things. You know how Hollywood does it. You know, they get on this bandwagon where there'll be one film that just breaks out and becomes a blockbuster because of some new technique or some new style or something like that, and it becomes a big, big hit. And then what they do is they'll go off and rather than be original themselves, they'll go out and they'll say, oh, people like this. Let's do one of these too. So then all of a sudden you'll find everybody, you know, all of the films imitating them. And that's what, and then it gets old. It really gets old because people get sick of it because everybody's doing it and everybody, oh, this is just another imitation. You saw that in a lot of, you still see that today in a lot of films. You know, I think now the genre is going more towards reboots now. It has been for a few years. So like everybody's doing reboots. You get that kind of genre going and it becomes popular. And then that's the thing in Hollywood is that they say, oh, yeah, well, we got to do that too. We got to jump on it because it's making money. People like it. So everybody does it. So. So that's why they were going for that kind of realistic, you're in the room with them kind of look for, you know, a first person, I guess a first person perspective is what I was trying to say with the wild camera movements. Unfortunately, there are if it's not done correctly, it just makes you dizzy and it makes you nauseous and it makes you just annoyed with it. And it's just way overdone sometimes. And after NYPD Blue, there were other shows doing this, and it got to the point where it was just so overused and they would just do this wild camera movement all around all the time. And it would just, they did it too much and they just did it too much, you know, didn't know how to temper that, I guess. So you'll still see it every once in a while, but it's kind of fallen out of popularity a bit because people just gotten sick of it. Anyway, Ed says, okay, no neck brace, just stiff and more crunchy than usual. Okay, well, I'm glad you're not in a neck brace. Ed says Toyota RAV4. So you got a RAV4. Wow. A gray they call Lunar Rock. Okay, I think I know that color. I think I know that color because I've seen a couple of other vehicles like that. Toyota has picked up a couple of new colors, and I think that's Lunar Rock. I think I'm somewhat familiar with. It's a kind of a gray thing that kind of looks like it would be a Lunar Rock color. Wow. Well, congratulations, Ed. A Toyota RAV4. You know, my wife, she bought a RAV4 once. She liked the car. It was a little bit small for what we needed it for, but she liked the car. But then like a year later, she traded it in for a Toyota Highlander. So because the Highlander was larger, we kind of needed something a little bit larger. But she liked the car. But Toyota, well, congratulations once again, Ed. Enjoy the RAV4. I know that they've made some upgrades on that RAV4 since we had one. That was 17 years ago, I think, is when we bought the RAV4, 16 years ago, a little more than that. Let's see, Emmy-winning dramas. Gunsmoke, The Handmaid's Tale, Hell Street Blues, I read that, Homeland. Ah, this is what it is, one of my favorite shows, Mission Impossible. Did you know that Mission Impossible won Emmys? Now, Ed knows a lot of this. Ed says, Defenders, Robert Reed and E.G. Marshall. E.G. Marshall. Now, Robert Reed, both big names, actually. Robert Reed won, but E.G. Marshall, you know what I remember E.G. Marshall for most? Let's see. X86 says, never watched NYPD Blue. Yeah, I never really got into it much myself. Kevin says, love Breaking Bad. Something tells me, you know, I think you mentioned that before, didn't you, Kevin? Breaking Bad, yep. X86 says, Breaking Bad was good. It was either Kevin or X86, I think, last week or that mentioned Breaking Bad. Well, I can't remember which one of you did, but I remember one of you did. Kevin says, I got to run. Take care, everyone. And cheers, and take care, Kevin. Once again, congratulations, and don't forget to do that. I'll pop it up there one more time. Make sure that you get your information to me, rickatsawaymedia.com, so I can send you out that package. Congratulations. All right. And where was I? Okay. Mission Impossible. Yes, Mission Impossible won Emmys. Mission Impossible being one of the last, not the last, but one of the last shows that was produced by Desilu Studios. Personally endorsed by Lucille Ball. She liked Mission Impossible and she liked Star Trek. She really fought for Star Trek to keep that, get that, and to keep that on the air. And we went through, I think we went already discussed that trivia a week or two ago. L.A. Law. L.A. Law is another classic that that I never really watched much. But that was Emmy winning. And Lost. Lost, the TV show Lost. You remember Lost? I tell you what, I started watching that show and then I kind of zoned out and it just, I got lost in that show. You know, it was a period of time where I just got lost in the show and it went in all these different directions and I just got lost. And I could, now my brother, my younger brother Tony, who passed away and from cancer, he really liked that show. And he made a point of watching that every week. And when the show ended, I think he had passed away before the show ended. So he never found out how it ended. So even though I wasn't really keeping up with the show, when the final episode came up, and I kind of was sort of keeping tabs kind of on what was going on with the show, not much, but a little bit. But when the final episode aired, I made a point to sit down and watch the episode, basically kind of for him, you know, because he never got to see how the show ended. So I figured, well, maybe I can watch how the show ended for him. So I sat down and watched it. I thought it was very interesting. The ending was interesting. It was an interesting ending. Not what I expected. Well, actually, I take that back. About a quarter way through the episode, I started to figure out, oh, I think I know where this is going. And then before the reveal at the end, I realized, okay, this is where it's going. So it was an interesting ending. Manifest, Chi and I are watching Manifest, and we just finished watching the first half of episode four. And the second half of episode four, which are the final 10 episodes, are coming up, I think they said March. I'm not sure. March, April, and it's going to be in 2023. I'm not sure exactly when. But we're looking forward to that. And in a way, it kind of reminds me of Lost. Manifest is yeah, in a lot of ways, it's a bit like Lost. Mad Men, another one that won Emmys. Law and Order, not surprising there. Emmy winning drama. Picket Fences. Now, Picket Fences, I never really watched that much, but as I recall, it was kind of a cool show. Playhouse 90 and won Emmys. Police Story. I think Playhouse 90 was more of a drama of the week kind of thing. I think Police Story, because I never watched it. Police Story, I never really got into Police Story either. What police procedurals did you watch, Rick? Well, some. I mean, The Practice is on here as being an Emmy-winning drama. I never really watched that. The Rockford Files, though, I liked The Rockford Files. Jim Rockford. That was a cool show and a fun show. And I liked watching Beery in that show playing the dad. And yeah, I'm not surprised that won Emmys. Sopranos won Emmys. No big surprise there either. 30-something. Never watched it. I've heard some people, that was one of those shows where people either liked it or they didn't want to watch it at all. But yeah, that was Not a show for me. Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones won Emmys. Not no surprise there at all. The United States Steel Hour. I don't know. The United States Steel Hour. That might have been before my time. And that's saying a lot because I've been around for a while. Upstairs, Downstairs. Interesting. Yeah, it has. That's, isn't that a British show? The Waltons. Waltons, I know, won Emmys because I used to watch The Waltons every week. It was a really, really, really well-written and well-acted show in the day. And I remember when it won Emmys. So, yes, yeah, The Waltons won quite a few Emmys, I believe. Marcus Welby, M.D., I have a couple of jokes about Marcus Welby, M.D., but it seems that nobody around me ever remembers that show, except me. I watched a few episodes of Marcus Welby, M.D., but it seems like as popular as that show was at the time, it seems today nobody remembers it that I know of. And then there's The West Wing. The West Wing, which I never really watched that much either. Some of the shows that I watch are not on here. I guess NCIS never won an Emmy. I think they did, right? NCIS, NCIS New Orleans. I think NCIS, didn't they win an Emmy? I don't know. Anyway, though, X86 says The Rockford Files was a great series. Wasn't it, though? It was awesome. The Rockford Files was and James Garner was just such a great, and you know he was a great actor, but he was he also had, that was not his only big series either. I mean, if you remember Maverick, when he was doing Maverick, that was another big one. And he's been he was in a number of movies and things like that. Good. I remember, one really cool movie that was in. It was, wasn't it Support Your Local Gunfighter? If you've never seen that, you gotta check that out. That's a fun movie. Anyway, those are the Emmy-winning dramas. I know Ed has something to say about that. Yeah, Ed says CRS Mystery Theater of Radio, E.G. Marshall host. Yes, he was, E.G. Marshall. And yeah, you know what? I got sidetracked, and thanks for getting me back on track, Ed, but that was actually what I was going to mention. That's what I remember E.G. Marshall for, was the CBS Mystery Theater. That was, Ed says E.G. Marshall in 12 Angry Men. Was he in that? Yeah, I think was he in 12 Angry Men? I think he was. Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen that film. And Tommy watched it, and I told him he saw it for a class. He saw it for class once as a class project. He took a film appreciation course or something, and they showed 12 Angry Men. And I told him, you got to watch this film. There are a lot of layers to this, a lot of layers to the film, but you'll enjoy it. And I think he did. You know, 12 Angry Men was a really good movie. And see, I like these courtroom drama things anyway. So, you know, I used to watch Bull, and I still watch Perry Mason from time. Yeah, I know. When I was a kid, you know, my friend Jim and I talked about this not too long ago, and he says, you know, when we were kids, we couldn't stand to watch Perry Mason. It's like, you know, our parents watched Perry Mason. It was like, oh man, this is so boring, so dull, so awful. We could never watch this show. And now at our age, we find ourselves sitting down late night watching Perry Mason, and we're hooked. And it's like, oh wow, this is pretty wild. I think it comes with age, doesn't it? I don't know. Maybe so. But Ed, yes, you did. You guessed correctly when I was saying that. That's what I remember E.G. Marshall for, was not The Defenders, not 12 Angry Men, but for the CBS Mystery Theater. The Mystery Theater, for those who don't know, it was basically a radio show And when I was a kid, when I was going to Sunday, they play it late nights and Sunday nights, I believe. And I would have to go to school the next morning, but I had an alarm clock radio, one of these big alarm clock radios, kind of handy, hand-me-down from my parents who had gotten a new one. And I had it on the headboard of my bed. And I to try to go to sleep at night, I would try to play some music or I'd try to listen to the radio mystery. I tuned into the Radio Mystery Theater, and at the time it was playing on it was on WDBO. It was on WDBO. That was back when WDBO was you know, just a regular AM talk radio station kind of thing. But it was but they would play it late nights, and I would turn on WDBO and to listen to some music, and then they'd started playing the Radio Mystery Theater at around midnight. And I would try to go to sleep. But it was hard to sleep because I get engrossed in the story, because it was a radio drama. Get involved in the story, and it had a lot of macabre, it was kind of creepy stuff to it sometimes. And E.G. Marshall was the host, and he would do this opening and this closing. And I remember his closing was "Pleasant Dreams," and I couldn't sleep after all that. I'd stay up and listen to this thing for an hour, and it would just keep me awake. And then I would have trouble getting up for school the next morning because it just kept me awake most of the night after the thing was over. And I would hear him go, "Pleasant dreams." And from that point on, I couldn't sleep. I was up. Just that creep factor there. But yeah, E.G. Marshall, yeah. CBS Radio Mystery Theater. That does date me. I know. Okay, so I said this was going to be a short show. I said it was going to be a light show. It's going to be a light show. I forgot to put on the light show. Okay, it was intended to be a light show tonight, not to go long. There's my light show. All right. Got the light show going on. I think there are different things you can do with this. Oh, there we go. Wow, that's kind of intense. A light show. There's the light show. That was my light show. Because I was telling, trying to tell Chi. I said, yeah, this is going to be a light show tonight. So there's the light. I didn't want to lie to her. I'm being truthful. There's the light show. Let's do the final review of this wine, okay? And I did promise. Tom Antio says, "Hi, Dad. What are you eating?" Well, I'm not eating anything at the moment, but it's better than what I'm drinking, which is not that great. I did tell you where you can get a free pair of these, okay? So I'm going to tell you where you can get a free pair of these. For those who don't know, you can get a free pair of these. Let me put them out there. If you do this, I'm going to set this in order. Okay, so what we got going on here, this is the giveaway. Free pair of Drink with Rick coasters. There you go, right there. Free pair of Drink with Rick coasters. I've got to line them up just right. Kind of feeling my way through this. There we go. You can get a free pair of Drink with Rick coasters. And I'm going to tell you how you can do this. If you go to, let me see if I can pull it up here. Get two free Drink with Rick coasters while supplies last. I do have some supplies right now, so they're lasting at the moment. While they're lasting, you can get these. And there are limited two per person. Two per person. I didn't say per household. It's a per person. So if there are multiple people in your household that want them, I've got enough here. I can do this. Continental U.S. only. Unfortunately, I can't ship out of the outside the continental USA at the moment. Wish I could, but I can't really do that feasibly, and not to where it would cost too much, not under this particular scenario. Continental U.S. only. What you need to do is you need to send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and this is where you're going to send it. You're going to send it to Savoy Media, Coaster Offer, 6420 Ray Road, Suite A1, number 209, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277. Once again, Savoy Media, Coaster Offer, 6420 Ray Road, that's R-E-A Road, Suite A1, number 209, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277. You do that, and I will send you, and this is how you do it. Just send me the self-addressed stamped envelope. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put two of these coasters in the envelope, seal it back up, and send it right back to you. Two free drink with Rick coasters. And that's how that works. That's all you need to do. And you'll have two free drink with Rick coasters. So please send them in while I have them. I've had to order these a couple of times, so I don't know how long this one will last, but wow, I'm telling you, we're having a light show tonight. This is a light show. Yeah, I thought you would appreciate that. The light show. Anyway, so I think that does it for tonight. All right. This is what we're drinking. Last call. Last call. What we're drinking is this, or not drinking because I'm not drinking so much of it anymore. This is a Caretaker Pinot Noir Santa Maria Valley Central Coast California wine. It's 14.5. Yeah, I think so. 14.2. percent alcohol by volume, ABV, in the 750-milliliter bottle of wine. I'm telling you, I'm getting a little bit of strawberry, a little bit of raspberry in it, but it's kind of hard to pick them out. Now, supposedly it had other flavors in there, too, that they were mentioning, you know, things like clove and vanilla and all kinds of fun things like that, but I'm really not getting a lot of that in here, and it's opened up a little bit. I haven't tried any for all. Let me try it. Maybe a hint of clove. But I'm telling you, what I'm mostly tasting, mostly what I'm tasting is somebody's armpit in here, or a reasonable facsimile thereof, because this, it's bitter, and it's... It does. It kind of tastes like something crawled into the vat and died or something. I don't know. It's nasty. And this, I've been drinking it. Yeah, I've been drinking. Yeah, I mean, tells you what kind of class I have. But yeah, it's not. I don't like it. I do not like this wine. I would not buy another bottle of it. $9.99, and I purchased this. I purchased this at Trader Joe's for $9.99. I have the receipt right here. Trader Joe's, $9.99. I didn't like this wine. Short answer. Did not like it at all. I'm just telling you. It's a medium tannin, medium body, medium, everything's kind of medium, but I don't want to say it's mediocre because this stuff is kind of not good. I did not like this wine at all. So enough said about that. I don't recommend this wine. Now you might like it, but I didn't. CM Sanders says, LOL armpit. You know what that tastes like, Dad? Well, apparently I do now. Smells like armpit, I'll say that. Ed says, CBS, of course, not CRS. Yeah, I know what you meant, CBS. WDBO at midnight, drove home from nights at Heidelberger's Deli, my first Disney job, and heard it. I remember Heidelberger's Deli. You know, I worked there for a while, too. Ed and I worked together at Disney World, Walt Disney World, back in the village. What was at the time called the Walt Disney World Village back then? And Ed was working, I think, during our heydays there when we were both there in the village together and rooming together. He was working at the bookstore there, and I was working at the, well, we both started off working at the Veranda Restaurant Pavilion. That's how we met. We met at the Veranda Restaurant in the Borden Kunst Shop in the Sara Lee Bakery. He went on to work, he did work at Heidelberger's Deli for a little while, and then he went to work at the bookstore there. I don't remember what the bookstore was called. I know, Ed, because you spent a lot of time there. I remember going there and putting in a shift or two doing inventory or something once, if I remember correctly. I think I went in there and did a shift doing some inventory stuff. But other than that, I was working at the Light Bite, which is the burger place right next door to the bookstore, by the way. And I did work at Heidelberger's Deli for a little bit. Didn't really like it that much, to be honest. I preferred the Light Bite over the deli. The deli was really messy. I mean, the Light Bite was kind of messy too, but the deli was a lot of work to maintain and keep clean and stuff, as I recall. It was kind of messy to me. That was my experience anyway. But yes, Ed, CBS. That's where it aired. The Columbia Broadcast System, as it was known. WDBO at midnight, yes. You know, by the way, do you know what WDBO stands for, at least according to WDBO? Do you know what WDBO stood for originally, apparently? The call letters of WDBO in Orlando, that was the AM station down there. I love WDBO. I actually went there once and recorded. I entered a contest for the Bicentennial. It was a Bicentennial contest put on. I think it was put on by the veterans, the VFW or something. I can't remember now. But they had an essay writing contest, and the winners of the essay writing contest got to go down to the radio station and record their essays, their speeches. On tape, on reel-to-reel tape, and then we sent them in, and the winners would get, they had a nice dinner for us, and we got these little, I think we got certificates or medals or something, and had a really nice dinner, and they presented us with the awards for writing these great speeches for what the Bicentennial means to me. That was the topic, and I wrote this little speech. And got to go down to the WDBO radio studios and record my speech in their studio. And I want to say I was about 13 or 14 at the time. Maybe I was 15. But it was quite an experience. It was the first time I'd actually ever stepped foot in a radio station, a real radio station. And I was enthralled by that. It was pretty intense. I really enjoyed it. And I still have the tape. I still have the reel-to-reel tape of that up here on the shelf. As a matter of fact, I haven't played it for eons. It probably sounds pretty bad now, but it was. But I did. I still have it up there. But WDBO. A long time. I was a long time listener of WDBO radio. And I think they play like sports now or something. They really changed their. Their whole station around, I think. If they're even still broadcasting, I hope so. Originally, though, just to answer, here's the other little trivia. The original call letters of WDBO stood for, allegedly, according to them, stood for Way Down by Orlando. That's what it stood for, Way Down by Orlando, WDBO. Cool, huh? Or so I've been told. that's the legend. Anyway, they have been around for over 100 years. So we were going long on this. I see, this is how it works on the stream of consciousness kind of show. Once again, you make the show, you drive the show. I could have closed it up a long time ago because we were just going to have a light show as we're having back there now. But you make the show, and this is what we're doing tonight. And I'm glad you are making the show. I'm glad you're doing this and participating, being part of the show. It is my honor and my privilege to have you here with me tonight, and to have you as being part of this show. It really is. That's the show we have tonight. Once again, I hope you'll join me here on Thanksgiving night. Just as a reminder, 2 weeks from, well, not from tonight, but a week and a half from tonight, it's going to be Thanksgiving. And I hope you'll join me for the Thanksgiving special. Do I still have that popped up here somewhere? Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. The Drink with Rick Thanksgiving special. November 24th, 2022, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a one-hour special. So I hope you'll join me for that. All right, there is one more celebrity I want to bring out now. He has not won an Emmy. Neither have I. Yet. And it is none other than Roadkill Bill. Yes. Roadkill Bill, the official mascot of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and he has a very important message for each and every one of you. And by the way, I want to thank everybody for, Bill and I both would like to thank everybody who joined us here on the show tonight. I want to thank my good friend Ed for being here. Thank you for being here, as always, Ed. And also, I want to thank my lovely wife, Chi, and Real Truth, thank you for being here on the show tonight. I do appreciate it. And on Twitch, everyone who joined me on Twitch, great turnout here for from X86. Thank you for being here tonight. CM Cinder, Kevin J. Ranks, thanks for being here. And once again, congratulations for your ticket, your ham ticket. And I wish you all the best for that. And Tom Antio, you know, we toasted him earlier. We toasted Kevin earlier. He got his technician license. He got his ham ticket. And CM Center, Tom Antio, X86, Kevin J. Ranks, everybody joined me there. And everyone who joined me on Odyssey and those who joined me on Twitter, I apologize for those who are tweeting me on who might have been tweeting me on Twitter, and I did not see you because I've been having issues with the browser tonight. But once again, thank you for being here with me. I appreciate each and every one of you. So does Bill. Anyway, he has a special message for you. Right, Bill? Yeah. The message is, do not drink and drive. Please, do not drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, wherever it is. Please do not drink and drive. If you have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a cab, call a friend, call a bus. If you can call a bus, call a taxi, whatever. The best thing to do is just stay put. It's not worth it. Don't put yourself at risk. Don't put anyone else around you at risk, especially. Please do not drink and drive. Do not text and drive either, because that's also very, very dangerous. Because I say this to you because I care about you. I want you to have a great week. But most of all, I want you to have a safe week. So you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.